Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the Bible. If you're following us on YouTube, please comment, share, like, and subscribe. It really helps for us to move up in the YouTube algorithm. Recently, I did a podcast episode concerning the angel of the Lord. And what I want to do in this episode is to lay some groundwork and some definitions and make some critical distinctions so that we don't have a misunderstanding about what is being meant when we speak of the angel of the Lord. In the Bible, the word that is translated in the English versions as angel come from two different places within Scripture, one from the Hebrew Old Testament, another from the Greek New Testament. In the Hebrew Old Testament, the word for angel is malach, which means messenger. In the Greek New Testament, the word is angelos, which also means messenger. And when you see it written out, you really can't help but understand how we got the word angel in English from the Greek word angelos. The first way I'd like to speak about angels is the way that I think we typically think of them in our culture today. And those are spirit beings who are created by the hand of God. We think of two examples. Actually, it's the same angel in two different parts of the account. In Luke chapter 1, when we see that Zechariah the priest, who is going to be the father of John the Baptist, is told by the angel Gabriel that he is going to become the father of a son, who he is supposed to be called John. The second is later on in that chapter, as the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary, who will become the mother of Jesus Christ. This is the event that is known in church history as the Annunciation. So in this case, we clearly see that Gabriel, a created spirit being, is the one who acts as a messenger for the messages of God. Because the word angel means messenger, it doesn't necessarily have to refer to a spirit being. Angel can be referring to a human messenger. We find three clear examples of this as found in the pages of Scripture. In Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, we find, "Now there was a day when his sons," that is Job's sons, "and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Clearly, in this example, we find that there is a human messenger who is bringing Job some rather bad news. However, clearly from context, and I will always stress this, when you're reading Scripture, and make sure you're reading it in the context you're seeing it. Otherwise, you could be mistaking a spirit created spirit angel and missing the mark when it really means a human, or the reverse. So again, continue to read in context. The second passage we find is in Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. It reads, "The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Notice here that the one who is writing is one named Malachi, and in Hebrew, the word Malachi means "my messenger," and clearly the one who wrote Malachi is a human author, not a spirit-created author. The third example I'd like to give you is found in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 10. It reads, "In the words of the Lord Jesus says, 'This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" In context, the Lord Jesus is speaking about John the Baptist, who clearly is not a spirit-created angel. He is a human messenger, a human prophet of God. So we can find from Scripture that there are three categories of angels. The first that I've mentioned are the spirit beings who are created. Secondly, they are human messengers. And third, someone who's in a category of his own, the angel of the Lord. We find with the angel of the Lord that there is a distinction and a unity with God in the words that are given. And again, do keep in mind that there are numerous references to the angel of the Lord as found throughout the Old Testament. It's also the case that Christian commentators in Eastern Orthodox circles, Roman Catholic, and Protestant circles over the centuries have understood this angel of the Lord to be the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. I stress about this angel of the Lord that unlike the spirit-created angels that I've mentioned in our first category, in the third category, since this angel of the Lord has distinction from God and yet is also God, this being cannot be created. This is one who is God. And I want to make a distinction here, lest somebody think that when I'm referring to the angel of the Lord, I'm referring to some spirit being who has been created. Anything but. We are talking about one who would, in the future, from that time, become fully incarnate, which means fully human as well as fully divine. So I want to make sure that that distinction is in place and is there clearly. In Genesis chapter 48, verses 15 through 16, we see an account of the words of Jacob, who is the son of Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery into Egypt. Jacob is finally reunited with Joseph and now has a chance to not only see Joseph again, but his two grandsons through Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob is speaking about the God who's watched over him during his many years. And we will find from Scripture that Jacob's life was on the order of about 147 years. And Jacob can look back at those years, and he has a rather interesting way of describing the God who has guided him during his life. In Genesis chapter 48, verses 15 and 16, we read, "And he," that's Jacob, "blessed Joseph and said, 'The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac.'" Something to note in this passage is that there is a threefold praising of God that Jacob gives. He looks first to the God before whom his fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. He's also looking at the God who has been his shepherd all of his life long. And then he adds on, "and the angel who has redeemed me." It would seem really strange if this angel were a created spirit being that Jacob would be giving praise to God, and then praise to a created angel. It's out of place. I believe that God had given Jacob some rather supernatural insight over a long period of time to understand God's role in how God had guided the life of Jacob. And in this case, we find Jacob, rather interestingly, referring to the angel who redeemed him, which is very much in line with our discussion of how the angel of the Lord is both distinct and, in a sense, unified with God. In conclusion, I want to recap the three ways that I've been defining angel within this episode. The first occurrence we find in Scripture are those that we typically think of in our culture, angels as created spirit beings, such as the Archangel Gabriel, who is mentioned in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The second kind of angel is a human angel, in a sense, a human messenger, because that's, again, what angel means. It's a word, messenger, and we find examples of this in the prophet Malachi. We find examples of this in the reference that the Lord Jesus makes to John the Baptist. The third kind of angel is the angel of the Lord, and this is one who is in a class by himself, one who's distinct from God, and one who is God. One of my goals in doing the rebooting of this podcast is to not only teach about the themes of Christ and light, also to have not only teaching, but a devotional aspect as well. And what I'd like you to do is to take a look in your own life and to pray scripture here, to look at the passage in Genesis chapter 48, verses 15 and 16. The way that Jacob looks at how God has watched over him, over his life. First, the God who has walked before my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And do keep in mind, I know that for our individual circumstances, perhaps we're the first in our family to become part of the household of God's faith. But there are others who've gone before us. Perhaps they are people who taught us at church. Perhaps they are other relatives, perhaps neighbors, someone else. And we can take a look at their life and say, the same God who they walked before, and again, walking is a way of saying living before God's presence, that the same God who they were living in the presence of, that we live in the presence of as well. Also, the God who's been our shepherd all our life long. I can tell you from my own personal experience that I thought that God became my shepherd when I became a believer in 1984. It's taken a lot of years of scripture reading, a lot of years of prayer and reflection. I realize God's hand has been on my life all my life long, even a few accounts, which I won't go into now, about how God's hand was on me even before I was born. And I think perhaps you will, upon reflection, see the same kind of hand of God shepherding you all the days of your life, not just your days as a believer. And lastly, the angel, and dare I say, the angel of the Lord, who is now to us, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human, who has redeemed us, and redeemed us in buying us back, watching over us, buying us back from evil. Scripture says, and there are statements of church history that talk about how the Lord Jesus, by his precious blood, has redeemed us from the power of the evil one. I'd like you to devotionally read through these passages from Genesis chapter 48, verses 15 and 16, and pray them as applying to your own life. I think you'll find them as beneficial as I have. By the grace of God, I will see you in the next podcast.